The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f***s are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
The Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Everyone to episode number 31 of Good Beer Bad Movie Night. My name is Pete, and tonight's episode from 1996 is Bordello of Blood. We may have vampires in this one.
Yes.
And whores.
Oh, and whores. Yes. I'm so excited. How you doing, guys?
I was better before yesterday when I watched this stupid movie.
As always here on Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, we're going to have a 6-minute synopsis that I am going to do as I lovingly caress this movie in my arms.
Don't say the word caress again.
Oh, is that bad? I would apologize, but I'm not going to.
Especially in a reference to a movie called Bordello.
Somewhere here in this episode, we are going to take a break for a delicious beer, which afterwards we will talk about this movie a little bit more, have another beer, and then give it our 6-pack rating, where we need to know from our rating system just how drunk you need to be to enjoy this film.
A lot.
You can kind of almost tell how much needless TNA is in a movie, because it's usually directly proportional to
how annoyed I am. Yeah.
How irritated you are, like, right at the very beginning.
Yeah. I have some questions to ask you guys.
I'm sorry, all questions must be submitted in writing.
Oh, no.
Scrawl it on a brick and throw it at my head.
So you guys are going to be answering questions for the whole of mankind today.
So. Oh, no.
Representing your
It's delightful.
Gender.
This landed right for me.
I'm sorry, mankind. Man.
This was a college movie for me. I went in the theater and saw it. I bought the DVD right when it came out and
joined the fan club.
Bought a Crypt Keeper stuffed animal.
Well, okay, there's that too, because it's the Crypt Keeper. Very nice. Without further ado, let me introduce all of us again. My name is Pete, and the other hosts, of course. Dave, how are you, sir?
I am upright and able to take nourishment.
That's a very interesting statement.
I've been sick for the past couple of days, so I'm happy to be okay now.
Welcome
now
back.
It all makes
Welcome
sense.
Back to
I'm
the
glad
land
that
of
you're
the
better.
On my side and Dave's side for this film, I think, is Troy. How you doing, Troy?
Good.
And against us all.
What's the common denominator of the people that like this movie?
Low. It's low, low, low common denominator.
Low, like low on the body parts?
Low on the brain cells.
Oh, well, that is true.
Penises.
This is not highbrow film.
No. This is a no-brow film.
The voice there for everyone not in the know is Kathleen.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for indulging us.
Just go.
I cannot wait. This might take a little longer than 6 minutes, so strap in, Kathleen.
I don't even know that I want you to do a 6-minute synopsis, because I don't know that I want to hear about the whole plot or lack thereof of this stupid ass movie all over again.
You don't want to relive it?
Yes.
So much to talk about.
I know.
So much. There's so much plot. It's very thick and gooey and
gooey. That's
firm and supple.
Okay, caress and supple are two words you're not allowed to say.
All right, ready, set, go.
This Tales from the Crypt episode starts with a ripoff of Raiders of the Lost Ark, as a man named Vincent is leading a group of hired thugs to raid a tomb in a distant South American jungle. Once inside the tomb, they find a sarcophagus, which turns out to be the remains of an ancient vampire named Lilith. Vincent says he's been searching for Lilith for 10 years and opens a small 4-chambered box containing 4 separate pieces of Lilith's heart in each chamber. Vincent combines the four pieces of the heart, places it into the open chest of the decayed husk that was once Lilith's body. The vampire reconstitutes and starts slaughtering the thugs, but when she gets to Vincent, he holds up the a talisman containing some of Lilith's blood, which gives Vincent some control over her. As the scene ends, we see Lilith feeding on the last thug at Vincent's behest. After an intro from the Crypt Keeper, we see a real yin and yang household, where Kathleen Verdot, played by Baywatch babe Erica Alaniak, she's an all-American blonde workout fiend that is employed by a televangelist, while her brother, on the other hand, Caleb, played by Corey Feldman, is a chain-smoking, tongue-piercing, beer-drinking douche canoe. As typical of these type of family dynamics, the two siblings argue over the volume of Caleb's stereo. After Kathryn wins, she turns down the stereo, and Caleb heads out to get drunk at the bar with his three buddies. His three buddies are Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas, a forgettable scamp named Zeke, and fake Corey Haim. At the bar, they're playing darts and talking about getting laid. They're approached by a Renfield stand-in who says, "Boys, I know a place not too far from here where you can get the best goddamn piece of ass in the whole goddamn world. They got girls that will do things there aren't names for. 325 Beaumont, ask for the Cunningham Lake."
My God.
This wackadoo creeps out Taboo and Zeke, but proves to be too tempting for Caleb and fake Corey Haim. The Coreys go to the funeral home, knock on the door, and are invited inside by the attendant. They are led into a parlor where a coffin is set up in front of a cremation oven. The attendant tells the Coreys to get in the coffin, and when the boys refuse, he pulls a gun and forces them inside the coffin. The attendant pulls the cord, sends the coffin into the fire, but wait! It was a ruse! And a delightful one at that. The coffin slides right past the flames, down a conveyor, and opens up in, ta-da, a bordello! I really wish Cedar Point would put one of these rides in. The Coreys split up and are taken into separate rooms by different whores, or vampires, whatever, who turn out to be vampires, surprise, surprise. After the boys are warmed up, the impossibly beautiful Lilith, played by Ohio native and ex-Miss Sylvester Stallone, Angie Everhart, enters the room and murders the Coreys. We cut to a few days later, where we see Kathryn pleading to the police to find her brother. The cop says he's up to his eyeballs and missing persons and will get to her brother's case when he can. The conversation is overheard by our protagonist, Rafe Gutman, played by the ever-pompous Dennis Miller. Rafe is a private investigator, and after some negotiations, Kathryn hires Rafe to find her brother. Rafe visits the bar where Taboo and Zeke are playing pool. Rafe squeezes out information that the Coreys went to the whorehouse at 325 Beaumont. Rafe visits the funeral parlor, which is in the middle of a wake. He takes note of the Renfield standfill slathering himself with suntan lotion, as well as noticing the pallbearers struggling and remarking how heavy the casket is. Rafe shows up at the mega church, led by guitar-toting Reverend Jimmy Current, or JC, as his friends call him, played by Mr. Susan Sarandon. Side note, something is fishy going on as Vincent, our man who dug up Lilith, seems to be on the good reverend's payroll. Rafe tells Kathryn that Caleb was last seen going to a house of ill repute. Kathryn is pissed at Caleb and doesn't care anymore about her brother and where he is. She pays Rafe for his time, but for some reason, most likely to bilk more moolah out of Kathryn, Rafe can't let the case go. Kathryn doesn't care, but Rafe heads out to the bar anyway to continue the investigation. At the same bar, Rafe encounters the Renfield stand-in again and is given the "I know a place
1 minute
not too far from here" speech. We are not reaching our goal here. Rafe recognizes the address and heads to the cat house. Rafe is turned away by the doorman, who says the wake is closed for the evening. Undeterred, Rafe sneaks into the house, does some snooping, and finds evidence that Corey and fake Corey Haim were there. Rafe exits the house undetected. The next day, Catherine and JC are testing our movie's Chekhov's gun, which happens to be a giant laser that is supposed to burn a crucifix into a papier-mâché Satan. Rafe shows Catherine the evidence he found of her brother and tells her that he's staking out the house of assignation that evening. Rafe returns to the brothel, is welcomed in, and sent on the coffin ride down to the den of vice. A whore pyre leads Rafe to a BDSM playroom complete with cat of nine tails and a rack. The torture kind, not the movie kind. Well, we get that too. The whore pyre embraces Rafe aggressively and draws a little blood and has a little taste. Rafe tricks the vampire into trying out the rack first, ties her up, and makes a hasty retreat out of the funeral home, leaving his wallet behind. Lila finds the wallet, confronts the vampire that let Rafe escape. She smells and tastes the blood on the failed vampire's finger and says Rafe has rare blood and tastes oh so good. In a panic, Rafe returns to his office to get a gun. Lilith appears and tries to seduce Rafe into becoming her blood bag. But Catherine interrupts her advances. Catherine is upset that sexy Lilith is around and storms out of the office as Rafe runs after her. They go to the police station, and as no surprise to anyone, Rafe fails to convince Catherine and the police that there's a vampire brothel in the basement of the funeral home.
Awesome.
Go figure. It's at this time that the Reverend Current is in possession of the talisman that contains Lilith's blood, which keeps her more or less under his power. Vincent asks for a raise because he's doing all the dirty work with Lilith, but JC refuses, saying Vincent is doing the Lord's work. Just so the audience doesn't forget, we cut to JC and his crew testing out the laser again. It malfunctions and cuts a deep cross into the marble floor. JC yells at the laser operator, "Hey, it turned up too high. You might get someone killed. Thanks, movie, for the reminder." Vincent is upset that he didn't get a raise, so he steals a talisman with Lilith's blood and, at her behest, destroys it, freeing Lilith from their control. Catherine and Rafe both finally get video proof that there are indeed vampires around. Catherine gets a call from her brother Caleb, who says he needs help. They go to help him out at the old power plant on the south side, which is very much a Scooby-Doo location. Surprise! Caleb is a vampire and he attacks them. Rafe and Catherine get separated during the chase. Rafe falls out of a window and is taken to the hospital by the police, while Catherine is kidnapped by vampires and brought to the funeral house. In the hospital, Rafe is attacked by a vampire but gets away, no thanks to Whoopi Goldberg. Meanwhile, at the brothel, Lilith ties up Catherine at the BDSM room and proceeds to sexually assault her. JC and Rafe team up and storm the bordello armed with wooden stakes and super soakers filled with holy water. They butcher the vamps in a glorious scene of boobs, blood, and beasts, which, by the way, was nearly the name of this podcast. After the initial carnage, Rafe and JC split up. Rafe gives Caleb a holy water bath while JC is killed by Lilith. Rafe takes an axe to Lilith, which drives her away momentarily. Rafe unties Catherine, making sure to check her neck for vampire bites. We are all good. With JC's dying words, he tells Rafe and Catherine to go to the church and broadcast their knowledge of the vampires to the world. At the church, Rafe and Catherine set up stage for the broadcast when Lilith appears. Through some crazy random happenstance of explosions and overactive smoke machines, Rafe uses a laser on Lilith and cuts her heart into four pieces, ending this nightmare. The epilogue shows Catherine and Rafe getting some post-massacre smooching in the back of a car when we see Rafe start hiking up Catherine's skirt, revealing two tiny teeth marks on her inner thigh, ending on an M. Night Shyamalan twist. The end.
You needed an additional 4 minutes.
Oh, God. Was that a whole 10 minutes?
It's a 10-minute synopsis.
Jesus.
I enjoyed the movie.
Well, you're a boy.
There will be discussions of plenty.
I'm sure. I already see the ruffled feathers of said Kathleen, whom I hope I didn't use your name too much during the
No, just time. Once. Yeah. And I did say I was not in this movie.
Can we drink now?
Let's go get a beer.
So much alcohol.
See you in a minute.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, good catch, Dave.
Thank you.
It was very smooth. All one hand.
Oh, yes. Okay, folks. So this is from locally here in Columbus, Ohio, Wolf's Ridge Brewing. And much like our buddies out at Forbidden Root, we got an email.
Sorry.
Now, Wolf's Ridge is the place we went and had that really nice dinner with Ryan and Jeff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's a beautiful brewery downtown Columbus. Yeah.
And the restaurant that's attached to that brewery is so good.
It's highfalutin food.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Come
with your wallets open.
Yes.
And just enjoy yourself.
And enjoy the experience.
Right. So we got an email from Casey. I'm sorry, Casey. I'm going to kill your last name. Sadzina.
S. How about just Casey S?
Casey, thank you very much. We appreciate that you have reached out to us today. Because this apparently is today being released at Wolf's Ridge. Unfortunately, they didn't have a room for us to kind of do this. And it would have been way too noisy for us to try to do anything in the tap house.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a brand spanking new release as of November the 1st called Snow Cone from Wolf's Ridge. It is an American pale ale. It is sitting healthfully at 5.6 ABV.
Ooh, nice and friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very friendly indeed. And a 50 IBU, which fits the Geary.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close.
Pretty much.
I mean, I'm not going to split decimals.
No. So we are tasting this. Well, there are probably some folks that have already had this today, but this is a first try for all of us in a brand new beer.
The Geary, in case anybody isn't familiar with the idea, is the idea that a beer has IBUs, which are international
bittering units.
Thank you.
It's the part that makes it yucky and tastes like grass.
The amount of hops that's in it that makes it
wrong.
Like,
depending on who you ask,
you are wrong.
Anyway, IBUs are
how bitter a beer is. How much hops are in a beer?
Yeah. Okay, the ABV is the alcohol by volume. If the alcohol by volume and the IBUs are kind of close numerically, like 5% ABV and...
By a factor of 10.
Yes. And in 50 IBUs, it's usually pretty balanced.
Which means it doesn't have too much of a yucky grass taste.
Right.
So the gear is in place for if the IBUs are 10% of the ABV, then it is a balanced beer and you will like it even though you aren't a fan of bitter beers.
Right.
So,
or if you're not a big fan of things that are too malty, right?
Right, right.
If you're more of a IBU person, some malty beers you wouldn't like as much.
I don't prefer heavily sugared malty beers.
Right. So I think it can work for both sides of the equation is what I'm trying to say.
So these are things that you can look when you're out checking out new beers and you're like, I don't know what beer is. I don't know what all this garbage is. Now you can look on your label, and if the IBUs and the ABV are both listed, you can kind of go by, if these are pretty much within a 10% range, you can understand that this will be a nicely balanced beer.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
if it's skewed one way or the other, you're like, whoa, I can prepare for it. Like a higher ABV with a lower IBU would be a sweeter beer. It'd have a lot of malty and molasses to it, where a high IBU versus an ABV would be very bitter and very dry.
Right.
I happen to like bitter, hoppy beers.
Right. All of you boys do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely more so than me.
Though you may not enjoy coming around a little bit. You used to not even be able to countenance this stuff at all.
Well, I think I've just been drinking things that are better. It's amazing how a bit of better beer will make your better kind of thing applies.
I can see Troy really wants to do that tongue twister.
No, I'm not going to do it to it. So this is delicious.
It's hoppy.
It is hoppy.
It's hoppier than I would expect for something that is this closely Geary.
Correct. I agree wholeheartedly. But it seems to be, and I don't know what hops they're using here, so they might just be sort
really
of
strong.
Intense hops.
Mm-hmm.
It is very balanced, though. I mean, it's not like a hop bomb. It's
right,
not
no.
exploding in my head with pine cones and needles.
Though that the hops do kind of linger on the tongue a little bit.
Yes.
The kind of grassy aftertaste
right.
that Kevin is not a big fan of. But
that I struggle with. Because we've had a few beers where it's hop forward. You get a big flavor when you first taste it. But then there isn't that aftertaste. that I have liked, and you guys have all been like, whoa, really? This is a really hoppy beer. We're surprised that you like it. But I think that's what the difference for me is that aftertaste.
Well, the Forbidden Root beers, for example, the aftertaste just was gone.
Yeah, but I didn't feel like any of those started hoppy.
That Snoochie Booches was pretty hoppy.
I don't remember.
Snoochie Boochie was so good.
It was so good.
Like you, Troy, I'm enjoying this quite a bit.
I like this. And again, even though it leaves a pretty big taste,
I am surprised you like it, Kathleen. I really am.
I don't know that I would have a lot of it. Like we opened two bottles and shared it amongst ourselves, and I will be happy to finish this glass. I don't know that I would have another one. Sometimes I wish at bars that they would serve beer in like rocks size type glasses, because sometimes that's enough of this kind of beer for me. Mm-hmm. But they look at you like you're a weirdo when you ask for things like that.
Some of the better tap rooms out there will sell you a 4 ounce pour
or half pints or things like that.
Or an eight ounce pour. They'll sell you a half pint.
Yeah.
The ones that have the capacity for the glassware. I don't see it everywhere.
Right.
And I don't really mean to say the better ones.
Right.
I don't mean that at all. I mean the ones that have worked their way into. I think Sideswipe does it. I think Wolf's Ridge does it too. Last time I was at their tap room, I think they had, because you can look up on their menu board and they'll have three different prices.
Yeah.
They'll have 8, 16, and or maybe even 4, 8, and 16.
Yeah. Instead of 24.
You really don't want a 24-ounce beer.
A lot of times I don't, but I feel like that's what you get when you go.
One of the German...
I get a liter of beer at
the Oktoberfest, the mugs that hurt your wrist after about 15 minutes. Right. Like, I can't lift those.
Those are some low alcohol beers, though. You can drink a liter
of
it.
I don't have family from Germany. Not saying I couldn't drink that.
This is growing on me. The first sip, I had to have a few more sips before it really... It's settling down.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe it's a little young since this is a brand new release.
I think needs to be cold.
Yeah. I iced these down on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're okay. They're not as cold as they might should be.
Right.
They're as cold as I could get them.
I think it could be, first of all, it is called Snow Cone, so I bet it would probably need to be.
I'm actually enjoying it as it warms up. I liked it immediately as soon as I sipped it. Like, and it's like the nose is nice and like sharp and fruity and citrusy. And then I remember we discussed at one point that the faster a finish, the easier it is drinking. Like the cleaner the finish. Mm-hmm. Like, so if it like lingers, then it goes away immediately. That's something you can just pound back a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that we had? The North High Brewing. That we were like, it finishes fast. That means we could drink a lot of it. Like it finishes clean, I should say. So it's not like a sticky, malty.
No, I remember that conversation, but I don't remember what we talked about. Their Saison is kind of like that, I feel like. Don't you think? The one that we did with.
Yep. Yeah, the next one later might be a little stickier. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Extra pale ale. And on the bottle, I'm just going to read a little bit. This extra pale ale is a playful riff on the traditional spiced beers that dominate the seasonal landscape. And thank God it's not one of those, here's a beer that I'm going to pour cinnamon and nutmeg into, because I do not like that.
It says all that on the bottle.
It's supposed to be a... They made the bottle especially for Troy.
Yeah.
The labels are huge.
Yeah.
Some of this is written in pen by me.
It goes from the top to the bottom.
So Snow Cone features a bready base of Munich malt, which there is malt for a pale ale, and it's wonderfully balanced with bales of Whole Cone Mosaic and Huel melon hops.
Huel?
Huel?
I'm familiar with Mosaic, but not the second one.
Spell the second one.
Huel. Never heard of it.
Huel?
Huel?
I'm guessing.
Huel.
Yeah.
Huel! Tantalizing hop flower aromas and flavors of ripe melon make this beer something to look forward to every year. And that's when I've tasted it, because it doesn't have the... Like, usually when there's a really hoppy beer that I like, it's pineapple or orange. You know, you get the citrus. Mm-hmm. This is a different hop, and maybe melon. That's not a bad description. I was trying to come up with it, because it's not as...
Before you said softer. Melon, I was going grass. My palate says... Hops are either citrusy or grassy or piney trees, or you know, mowing the lawn.
You get the
those are the two.
Yeah, it's piney because it all tastes to me
hops to me.
It all tastes like grass, but is it fruit grass or tree grass?
I had one the other day that was nothing but orange hop. It was just like a sock in the face. Someone whacked me at my tongue with a wet orange noodle. Right.
Well, the grass is usually
I don't know.
The grass is usually in the aftertaste, though. Like this one in the mouth.
Breathing out, yeah.
There is definitely, I'm like, it's not berry. It's not citrus. What is that?
Yeah.
And melon's not a bad description. I could get that. I could get behind that.
Is it a musk melon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's green musk melon.
Cantaloupe-y, melon-y.
I would go green musk melon rather than orange cantaloupe.
Yeah, yeah.
Green not musk melon. Enough for...
Like a honeydew.
Honeydew. Am I saying the wrong fruit? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I.
No, you're doing it right.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Is it musk? Well, we don't need to have a melon debate, but I thought all.
we did it with this movie. God,
this the real movie. Ones versus the fake
ones. I don't want to talk about this movie anymore.
No, I'd rather talk about the beer.
Right.
And the movie.
I don't even know what I was saying. Melon. It tastes like melon. I agree. Your head is a melon.
It's nice and smooth today.
Well, nobody wants a lumpy melon.
As what is it normally? Oh, is it not normally smooth? Melon. Is it like...
Well, I just shaved it.
Oh, okay. So it's not normally like rough, like...
Hey, listen, everybody.
Sandpaper or...
No, no. It can be. Give me a couple of days, it'll be sandpapery. Our listener loves hearing about me trying to grow my hair.
Your hair. Like one big long hair, like a Fu Manchu, but out of the top of
that's
your head.
That's my eyebrows.
Do you trim your eyebrows?
Oh, darn right I do.
Oh, you should get the Gandalf going. Just like
I
have them all stretching
sons
out.
Of bitches.
I keep trying to, but Kathleen makes me trim it.
Yes, that's because Troy grows like four eyebrows from each brow, like long individual eyebrow hairs that if I let them go, they'd be as long as the hair coming out
I'm
of
like,
my head.
Braid it like Thor at the
I
end
mean,
of
it. Like it's like pulled out. You guys will know that something has happened to me when you see Troy and he's got like full beard from eye socket to the bottom of his Adam's apple. You'll be like, uh-oh.
There's actually stubble right here. I'm feeling basically
no
like...
Way.
Yeah, stubborn like on your cheekbones, like high up in your cheekbone, like your temple almost.
Yeah.
Your temple's a little lower. I know anatomy.
Roll with it.
Yeah. He could be part Sasquatch if I let him, but...
I grow like 10 hairs on each side of my face. So like if I let my hair grow for like 4 days, I look like a nutsack that got kicked around the floor of a barbershop.
Oh my.
That's horrible. Beautiful. That's a poetic.
I'll never be able to grow more than like a shitty 14-year-old mustache. Like it's just, but it's enough where I have to shave every day to every other day.
Yeah. That's what son his annoyance was.
I haven't shaved for like 3 days.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Me neither.
So you have more facial hair than I do, but it doesn't grow very fast. I have like 5 hairs that grow at like an incredible rate. So I look like fucking Mouse Man after 5 days. Like,
I
don't know how I feel about that.
So technically, is this beer like their Christmas beer?
I wouldn't think so. I think it's just a new release.
Okay.
Embarrassingly,
I didn't get the lowdown on it. We were contacted by Casey. And like, hey, you want some beer?
Yes.
And so we got a brand new release beer. So
okay.
Though it does say that it's the pale ale with traditional spice beers that dominate the seasonal landscape, and it's something that you can look forward to every year. So I think that this is their.
So it's their holiday beer. That's not a holiday beer. Right. I like it.
With it says snow cone.
Being snow cone, sure.
Right, right. That's what I was thinking.
I like it. Blue. I would have this. Yes.
It's much better than the other shitty nutmeggy beers that are out there.
Ouch, man.
Well, there's
they're usually really high malt.
Yeah.
And they're usually
like the ones that taste like
gingerbready and fruitcakey and fuck that. No, that's not a beer.
Yeah, it's a nice departure from like the super overly spiced beers.
Yes.
That are, they just try to get really dry with all the spice, so they just try to over malt it, and it gets really sweet and spicy. So you just end up.
And then I'm full.
It's like me. That's why I don't like it. It's too much like me. Sweet and spicy at the same time.
Oh God.
I'm not making any comments.
So, Kathleen, how did you like the movie? What was your favorite part?
The roll credits at the end. Here's the thing. Really and truly, it wasn't really that terrible of a movie. It's just annoying because it was
gratuitous.
Yeah, I don't even know like how to even. This is every bad let's get 14 to 19 year old boys to the movies because they're idiots and will slap down $8 to watch boobs bounce across the screen and yeah. I don't know. I just
not sure
$8
about.
That's way too low.
Well, actually too high for 96. It was probably only $4.50.
Yeah, and I was actually right in that range you mentioned in 96. No, I was in college.
That, oh yeah.
Yep, you said that you would pay $8 to do that. They were like, oh man, I'd pay a lot more than
right. I don't know. It's stupid. It's just like, it just falls in that category of movies that I just think are stupid. So I did not know that this movie existed, and I was alive and actively attending the movies a lot in 96 because I was a college kid. And
you were never a horror fan.
No.
Although this is loosely a horror movie.
Are we calling this horror?
It's horrible.
It's horror comedy, heavy on the... quote comedy.
I was gonna say heavy on the what on the it's a or like because it's not really horror and it's not really funny.
Yeah, you know that honestly it could have used a lot more of both.
Yeah, I will tell you, here's what my favorite part was, and even with that I was still annoyed. My favorite part was Whoopi Goldberg in the hospital sitting up and being like, I can't get any rest around here. I should have gone for the private room. And I literally was like, I went and laughed, and then I went, oh, shame on you, Whoopi.
Actually, she then went, they thought this movie was going to be a lot more than it was, didn't they?
Yes, I did.
Well, it was it was supposed to be like the second part of a trilogy. Because the first movie, I remember when Demon Knight came out. Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. I remember when that came out, and that was really well received.
Really?
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah. People enjoyed it because, I mean, I remember watching Tales from the Crypt as a kid, or like teenager or whatever.
Right.
And it was a fun show. It was a cool show. It was like, you know, twisty horror, TV friendly, but still.
Right.
And then
it was HBO, wasn't it?
No.
It was HBO.
I think it was HBO, and they dumbed it down for regular TV. Like it was on.
Right. Okay. NBC, you know what? Was thinking of Friday the 13th, the series. Remember that? No. That was Fox.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Elm Street, the series. Friday the 13th was the. Was the Warehouse 13 precursor?
It was a different story every week.
It was a really fucking good show.
Warehouse 13, Friday 13th was the same show.
Really?
Yeah.
I never saw.
They have a vault of stuff that's possessed.
Ooh. Oh, that's interesting.
And that's what Friday 13. You're right, Dave. That was Friday 13th.
It was a different story every. I mean, it wasn't a single storyline.
They were always looking for some sort of possessed object. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
But Tales from the Crypt. I mean, it was a super popular show. Mm-hmm. And the Crypt Keeper was funny. I mean, and God, I forgot about all the Crypt Keeper puns.
The Crypt Keeper was totally a dad before he was the Crypt Keeper because he is full of dad jokes.
Or an uncle.
Yes, I did a bad dad joke at Millie the other day right as I walked out the door to go to work. And she looked at Troy and she goes, oh, that was so bad. It was an uncle joke. I was like, right on. I've met her uncles. That's not. She's not wrong.
Like, you're not even half my genetic material. You're a quarter of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the show, I mean, the Demon Knight came out, and it was supposed to be the first of a trilogy of... It was meant to be the first of a trilogy of feature films.
Yes.
And then second came this one, Bordello of Blood. And apparently, I mean, from what I read, it didn't do well.
It tanked.
Yeah. I think they made a little bit of profit, but like it got critically panned.
Did the first one have as much free boobin' in it as this one did?
I don't believe so.
I don't remember.
I guarantee you that's what sunk this one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the complaints, because I did read a lot of the reviews, I think they were kind of unfair. They were all true and accurate, but it's measuring the movie against a metric by which it should not be measured. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it had a really thin plot. Like, you don't say.
Right.
Oh, really?
You have to measure a stupid movie against the stupid movie stick.
Right.
You can't, you can't compare this movie to Lawrence of Arabia.
Right. Oh, who did the Dracula movies with...
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula is better than this one.
Right.
you shouldn't be doing that. Like, this is not The Godfather. Like, you're not.
No.
Right.
If you're looking for depth and character building, like development, it's not. No.
It's not going to have any. No character changes at all.
No. You have one.
Did you read those Tales from the Crypt comics from the 60s? Or
DC comics? Yeah.
There's no character. It's all about that.
Three-page stories, and out, done.
Yeah.
Apparently, since this didn't do well, there was not an official third Tales from the Crypt movie.
Unofficial, I think there was one in 2001. I don't remember what it was called.
Really?
There was
Probably straight to video.
There was like a 2000. No, I think it was a theatrical release in 2002. I could totally be wrong about this. But it was also a Tales from the Crypt, but it was not part of this trilogy because this did so badly.
And by that time, I mean, the popularity of the Tales from the Crypt show had faded out and waned. And nobody cares. It didn't carry the weight it did back in the 90s.
No.
I think this movie also had the bad fortune of following From Dusk Till Dawn.
Hmm.
From Dusk Till Dawn came out the same year, 96.
Oh, yeah.
And it did everything that this movie did, except better.
Oh, absolutely.
The humor, the gore, the vampires, the pretty girls.
The total tonal shift.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck just happened? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
And this one had budget.
Well, this one had so many named people in it that were going to... They were going to cost them. They're not exactly what we would consider A-list stars that day that they were recording or today, but they were B+. And so they were going to come.
You knew who they were.
Yeah, you knew who they were.
The biggest star in this film is Corey Feldman.
Whoopi.
Okay, for the 2 seconds she's in it.
I'm just saying.
Right, okay. No. I see.
Yes,
correct.
After her, you're right.
Dennis Miller had never been in a starring role, has yet to be in a starring role.
But he was pretty big back then, though.
Well, as a stand-up and a political commentary.
Well, as a comedian.
As a comedian, for sure.
Comedy specials and SNL in the early 90s.
He's not an actor. And he even said that to the producers, wanted him to be in this movie. And he's like, I'm not really an actor, guys.
Yeah.
They're like, we really want you to be in this movie. Well, give me $1 million and I'll be in the movie. So they did, which completely handcuffed the film as far as everybody else.
Right.
Angie Everhart had also never acted in anything, and it just so happened.
That was very, very apparent.
Stallone was either a friend of or co-producer of one of the
producers.
He wasn't
a co-producer.
So he
probably knew Joel Silver, who was the producer.
Yeah. So through channels, now she earned her spot, but she got in there. This was her first acting role.
Yeah. You could tell she was new, but she wasn't terrible.
No,
honestly,
not at all.
She was better than the chick that had been in Baywatch.
Erica Laniak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Oh, I thought she was flat and annoying and terrible.
I'm not saying that Erica Laniak is Meryl Streep or anything, but
no,
she at least behaved like she had acted before. Whereas Angie Everhart was a supermodel.
Yeah, I know who she
was. And I have fond memories of looking at her in Sports Illustrated. Yep. But she always managed to look like have a stupid look on her face in every frame of the movie she was in. She just looked dumb. But she's not dumb. It's just not that dumb. She's not good at this.
She worked very hard at her role, and it was clear that this was something new to her.
Right.
But I'm not going to fault her for it.
No.
You got to start somewhere, and it just so happened to be in this stinker.
I'm just saying that she is not, in this movie, not a good actor.
Unfortunately, she's really green to be the head baddie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was also a lot of, like, Dennis Miller and Erica Eleniak were not on set. They were very, Erica was just coming off of Baywatch and was trying to be an actress. So she didn't interact with anybody on set. And Dennis Miller is just a pompous prick.
Right.
Also did not. He's like, this is below me. I'm getting paid $1 million to just be a dick. And rewrote all of his lines. And didn't want to hang out or really talk to any of the other actors, according to the documentary I watched.
There's a documentary about this.
Oh, yeah. It sounded like Corey Feldman and Angie Everhart had a ball, but the other two main actors didn't give a rat's ass about being there. which also came over. There was no chemistry on the screen.
No.
Why didn't, I mean, it was one of those things where there's so little character, there's so little charisma or anything to even attract a viewer to the movie that I literally didn't write down anybody's real name. Like everyone was like Corey Feldman was either bro or CF every time I wrote down his name in it. So the only character name that I wrote down was Lilith. That was it. Everybody else was by their actor name or Chris Sarandon, and I wrote down Humperdinck every time. And I literally wrote, cut to Chris Sarandon as a TV evangelist with a guitar. And then underneath of it, I wrote, oh, Humperdinck. How you have fallen.
I don't know. That's some glorious hair he still has, damn it.
Well, that doesn't mean anything when it comes to quality of anything he does.
I admit fully to having kind of a big crush on Erika Eleniak throughout the 90s.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
That's
I always thought she was...
like a Christy Swanson ripoff.
I was going to bring this up later.
Maybe the other way around. No.
No. Christy Swanson is way cuter than her. And she definitely had way better eyebrows in the 90s.
I wasn't a connoisseur of Baywatch, but if there was one Baywatch babe that was a plank... it was her. It was Erica.
Wait, she when you say a plank,
a piece
she has
of
no
wood.
Boobies.
Ah.
No. She was a piece of wood. It was a block. It was, she's just a placeholder.
Yeah.
With no acting chops, with no.
See, that's funny because like.
I found in Baywatch, a few times I watched Baywatch, there were so many more interesting people in it than blank stare, unemotional.
I was saying, oh, what a surprise. Totally as a sarcastic remark, because of course you had a crush on her. Could look at her. Wow.
I mean, she's pretty.
She's pretty and she's... those are real, by the way. And
we don't
and they're
see them.
Fabulous.
Well done.
What is that from?
Seinfeld.
That's right.
That was the
Terry Hatcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, those are definitely real, too.
Yeah.
But no, Erika Eleniak, I remember her in Baywatch. I didn't watch Baywatch very often, but when I saw it, I'm like, oh, hey. And like, I think my friends had a poster of her somewhere that you could see from his bed. Gross.
And the bathroom, strangely enough.
That honestly makes it sound grosser than to say he just had a poster of her in his room. Than to say he had a poster of her, you could see it from the bed. Like, that sounds more disgusting somehow.
Huh. I meant for it to be
from the bathroom. It's easy.
That's his whacking poster.
Oh no, I get it. That's what this entire movie is.
A whacking poster.
Yes.
Yeah, but
oh,
like
it's a whacking poster of a movie.
Like I knew it was gonna be a stupid sex romp type of like that Ski Patrol movie you made me watch last winter
Ski school.
Or two winters Ski ago school. Or whatever that the fuck fun. It was called. That but
was I like that
when
movie.
They rolled out of that coffin. When Corey Feldman and
then sustained
Haim.
5 seconds of boobs and nothing
yes.
else.
Hot boys.
Like the lid just popped off and just boobs dangling right there. I literally was like, son of a fucking. I was so annoyed. Like, I was like, no. So.
And not a real boob in sight.
Oh, there were some real
except
boobs.
Except the
there
strip
were some
club.
Real ones.
The strip club, they were all real. I'm pretty sure.
There were some real ones in the...
In the brothel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not in any main girls that, like, walked up and like, talked to them, but people that were in the background and whatever.
She really had a third nipple.
Oh, right. My God. Right. What is that? Why? What is the... Okay, here's one of my questions I have for the three of you representing the...
Ask away, but I don't
species
know.
That you all have. What is it about boys and that third nipple thing? Because this is like the third movie that I've seen that's like a big deal.
You've seen three movies where
this
three nipples?
One,
Small rats.
And then, God, what is the other one? I thought of it last night.
Total Recall.
I wrote it down.
Oh, those are three boobs.
That's three boobs in Total Recall.
Technically,
maybe that is what
I mean, that it would be three nipples.
Right.
But whatever the case, that's not a thing. Like, guys who are really into third nipples, that's not a thing.
I mean, it's a boob. And, like, you know, there's a reason to look at it, I guess.
It's a thing. I'm not going to kick you out of bed, but it's not something I'm looking for. Like, oh, sorry, honey. You only got two.
I only brought two lifesavers, so.
Lifesavers.
I'm not even gonna.
I don't know why that.
Shake my head and just no, no.
But, so now I have a question for you.
No, don't ask that question.
Yeah, it's
we're friends
best.
With his wife. I don't want to know.
Continue.
What flavor would you be?
No.
It depends on the event. It depends on the night. Event. Like,
oh my god!
In the summer, I prefer wintergreen because it's like a nice.
You can't go. No, well, you can't hot. Go straight out for Ouch. The wintergreen because, like,
no spearmint. No,
that's like you brought up the wintergreen. Like, you were expecting this to happen. A little presumptuous, aren't you? Maybe like a mixed fruit, like a lime and a pineapple or something like that. But like, you know, you just pull them out of the package. But where am I going with this?
I don't know. Though this conversation does remind me of Steve's brilliant idea for Pete's birthday one year where we made you a 28 booby salute. So
that was hilarious.
Why 28?
Because that was my 28th birthday.
Ah.
So we made chocolate cupcakes with Hershey Kisses on them. Uh-huh. And then we made vanilla cupcakes.
You came to the bar to give them to
me. Yeah, we brought them to the bar. And vanilla cupcakes with, I think they were red Lifesavers in the middle of
them. Oh, memories.
Yay.
Ding, 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 ding.
That was a Crypt Keeper level.
Yeah, it was. Oh, speaking of Crypt Keeper, who is the actor that was in the mummy costume that was talking
to
him?
Oh, he was famous.
I know. I saw, like, I could picture his face. And I could.
Oh, you're talking about William Sadler?
Yes. Tell
he was
me.
In Shawshank Redemption. Yep. He was in Iron Man 2, 3. He was in a bunch of stuff. He played Death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes. That's where I really
know.
Who
is he in Shawshank?
In Shawshank, he plays Haywood.
Who's
He's
Haywood?
The guy who likes the Hank Williams albums and all that stuff.
Yes. There you go. Because I saw him and I was like, oh, I know that guy. I know that guy. Who is that guy? And then I could see him.
She said it
like,
over and over.
In a blinding, like, flash of a ton of different characters all at once and couldn't place any of them.
He's also in Blacklist if you watch that show.
I do watch that show.
Yeah, he's in that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a guy who I hope just continues to get work because he's good at everything he does.
I think he's in the new Bill and Ted's coming up.
I certainly hope so.
It's...
I love
he damn well better
be another Bill and Ted movie. Too.
It's coming out.
I know.
Bill and Ted Face so the excited. Music.
Yeah, huh?
That's hilarious.
Oh, so good. That's I like so talking funny. About other movies.
Yes, I like talking about other movies. I will say I know I'm about to ask like an actual plot question about this movie, but so the people show up for the wake. And they get sent down the coffin ride, which Cedar Point had better not defile their hallowed ground by putting one of these in. Fine. So you can have it at Kings Island, but you stay away from Cedar Point.
Right. Six Flags.
So, yeah.
We just lost all of our listeners in Cincinnati. No. But the one.
Kings Island is a fine place.
It's fine.
So.
Fine joint.
It's just, there's no airflow there because it's not by the lake. That's my problem with Kings Island. It's hot. Anyway, so they go, they slide down, they get to be with the girls. Not every person gets gutted right away.
Sure. Because
there seem to be lots of dudes down there. And like,
there were a couple of fellows that were being led around on dog chains, and it would seem that they were repeat customers.
Right.
Because that's not something you just jump into, I would imagine. Unless that's your, it's like, this is what I want, babe. And,
right.
Okay, there you go.
Well, the Dom sub relationship takes a lot of trust. It's not
I would think
just,
so. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And there were some of that going
Dom
on, I would assume.
Right. And somebody you've never met before, it's, you know.
Right. Right. But, and then like that Renfield type guy was definitely.
Oh God, I hated that guy.
He was annoying.
I'm glad he died.
I didn't mention definitely that. Part vampire, but not fully.
He wasn't
turned.
Full, which is why I referenced him as a Renfield,
right?
Because he was, and even Lilith said that you're dead, but not fully undead, or fully dead, whatever.
Right, 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 right.
So there was some sort of.
Mostly dead.
Thanks, my thanks, God. Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
They didn't dive into the mythology too much about these kind of vampires. There are some things that bother me about what little we saw of the vampire mythology.
Right. Well, it was interesting because, like, we saw fake Corey Haim. Troy clearly needs another beer to talk about this movie.
Yes.
Cracks one open. Right? It
sounded like a rifle shot.
Right? Fake Corey Haim. It feels like it's like killed. Like Lil rips out his heart and like bites it and he's done.
He's
and
done.
We see another scene where she's done that to somebody else and she's annoyed because the guy's a vegetarian.
That was great.
She gives the heart to somebody else.
Yeah, I don't want this. Yeah.
Yeah. And we see what we think is Corey Feldman getting killed, but it's off screen.
It went it went fade to black.
Right, right. And so then he comes back later as a turned vampire.
Mm-hmm. Vamped out.
Yeah, he's big time vamped out. I didn't like how they chose to do his bumpy face.
Okay.
It wasn't buffy enough for her.
It wasn't even that. Because
I like the double fangs. That was kind of
the double fangs was okay.
Was
I didn't like the cheeks.
The cheekbones? The high cheeks or the makeup on the bone.
Well,
the...
No, that's just his face.
Like the... No, it's not. No, it's
he
not.
Does have high cheekbones.
But
just saying.
It just, I don't know. Like he was more... He looked like Skeletor as a vampire.
He was pale and a little sweaty.
I don't know. I just didn't like. I didn't like the choice of makeup that they did for that.
They can't all be Lilith. I mean, they can't all be pretty.
Right.
All the girls were right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. None of the girls ever had any kind of real bumpy face until Lilith like got really mad in the church and.
Yeah.
Which,
and then she went like straight Nosferatu.
Yeah. Oh, I did have to laugh, but I was like, "Wow, she's totally walking around inside this church without a problem at all," because clearly it's not holy.
Yeah.
Giant TV church.
I actually wrote down.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that that church is not a church because, I mean, yeah, she's having no problem with any, like, moving around in it, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That actually brings up an idea in the movie when Dennis Miller's character, Rafe, was.
Gutman.
Gutman. That actually, that's related.
Right.
Because as he was disrobing, the vampire who was disrobing like recoils.
Yes.
And like, no, keep your shirt on. And then it ends up being a Star of David and not a crucifix.
Right.
Like, oh, I thought it was going to be a cross. I'm like, huh. So it's definitely specifically Christian.
Which I thought was interesting because there's other mythology out there that talks about how it's all about symbols of faith. It doesn't matter what the symbol is as long as it is your symbol of faith.
As long as you believe in said faith.
Right.
Because, work with me, Troy. Wolverine, one time in the Marvel comic.
Yep, I remember this.
Dave's on board. Dracula, I think it was Dracula, wasn't it?
Yep, he made a cross.
Made a cross out of his claws, and Dracula went, ha, you have no power over me because you don't believe.
But then Nightcrawler, who was a devout Catholic, he's like, well, in that case... I believe, and he makes a cross.
Yeah,
and then,
there's a series of
that
books.
Where they turn Storm.
I don't remember.
X-Men Annual Number One.
I think it might.
That was one in my Catholic upbringing. That was one thing I went, you got to really believe to take out a vampire.
I'm a dead man.
Well, there's there's a series of books that I read called The Dresden Files, and the main character is a wizard, and he wears a pentacle necklace that was his mother's, and there are multiple times where his faith in magic, where magic comes from, how magic should be used, makes it so that that pentacle becomes a symbol of protection for him. He takes on a freaking loup-garou with that thing.
Loup-garou, is that a werewolf?
Yeah, it's like the original, terrifying start from it. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting that she was like, oh, it's a Star of David, never mind.
Now, maybe that character was not particularly a faithful Jew?
No, I think it's a lazy vampire thing to do.
Yeah.
I think it's a lazy way to tell a vampire story.
Well, I think it was just supposed to be a psych egg.
And that too. Right.
Although,
it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Well, I do think that in original vampire lore in Eastern Europe, it was probably specifically Christian. And the people who weren't living there, like the transients, like gypsies and things like that, they tended to be not Christian, perhaps, possibly. Maybe they were. I don't know. But that
they weren't under the helm of Christianity, no matter what their faith was.
Right. So, I mean, that could be possibly, I don't know. It's a cool thing for somebody to look up and write to us, like email us or contact us on Facebook and say, like, hey, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I think a lot of movies are produced with Christianity in mind. Thusly, those symbols are or have power, which is shameful because other symbols of other faiths should have just as much power right. as the Christian crucifix.
Right.
This movie is aiming at the lowest common denominator.
This is not a political film.
Well, like the least amount of thought process and effort for anybody to understand
what is happening.
This is Kathleen's
theme for this podcast, by the way. Yeah. The lowest common denominator.
I mean,
if she had recoiled from him and been like, oh, I thought it was a cross. And then you see that it's Star of David. And then like, she hugs him or something and it still leaves a burn in his skin.
That would have been cool.
It would have been cool. There was a thing in Buffy where that happened mm-hmm. once. It's not a Star of David. It was a cross that mm-hmm. that happened in. But it would have made people go, well, that's not right because vampires are afraid of crosses. And so they have to eliminate anybody else trying to apply a brain cell to any part of this movie. So therefore, that's what they did. So
okay, this movie has a guy having a dart thrown at his dick. So I don't know how deep we really want to think this movie
I didn't
is.
Brush on that in the 6 minute synopsis
was
because
stupid.
Was it a bet that he could hit his dick?
Or no, it was a bet that
you. Oh no, I'll give you $16 if you don't like throw a dart at my
right.
penis.
Because one guy was saying I'll give you $5 to do it, and then he was like I'll give
right,
you
the
$10
started.
Not to, and then another one's like I'll give you $15 to do it, and then he had $16 or whatever. I don't know.
Do I hear 20?
Right. And then he just did it anyway because he's just an asshole. I thought it was stupid and hilarious that they were like supposed to be super cool, tough guys, and they all had matching nose rings that were enormously too big, by the way. Like, I was just like, ew, God, those are gross.
I will say that if for nothing else, this was an interesting little 90s time capsule of fashion.
Yes,
it was. Yeah, you've got
there were several
there.
Things I was like, I know a guy who had that shirt. I know a guy who had that shirt. I know a guy who wore his hat like that. Like, I was just like, oh my God.
Dick darts.
Dick darts. Yeah. I am not playing that game, damn it.
You
cannot give me that drunk.
No.
However, being getting drunk, how about we go grab another beer?
No. Wait. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, no, what are you talking about?
Do we know this guy over here?
No.
Okay, very good.
No, I meant to say something, but I said the opposite of it.
Let's go get another beer. It's not opposite day.
I need a beer now.
Is that the opposite?
I don't know.
You don't want a beer?
I don't know anymore.
No.
No, we need to get this woman drunk immediately.
Beer,
right
go.
Now.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Go.
Two times. That is impressive.
I used to do this.
He got skills.
I know.
So this is our second beer, Daybreak from Wolf's Ridge Brewing. Oh, shoot. Did you miss it?
He missed it.
Anyway.
Okay.
Don't waste beer. What do you need?
Glass.
We'll start again. That's
you're just making a grasping motion of it.
We're continuously interrupting the intro, so...
Wolf's Ridge Brewing. This is called Daybreak. Now, there's a little confusion. This Daybreak that I picked up is a coffee vanilla cream ale. Now, as I looked online, Daybreak is just a cream ale, and the Clear Skies Daybreak is the coffee vanilla variety. So I'm not sure if I got a weird label or I don't know.
I'm sorry. Say that again. They have two different ones called Daybreak.
There are two Daybreaks. There is Clear Sky Daybreak and then there is just Daybreak.
Okay.
This just says Daybreak on it.
I know. And I just have some conflicting reports online.
I see. Because from this label, you expected something darker?
I would expect it to say Clear Sky Daybreak versus just Daybreak. But the description on the bottle matches the Clear Sky Daybreak rather than the just plain Daybreak. And
maybe it's broken.
Or maybe they're not going to call it Clear Sky Daybreak anymore, and they're just phasing out.
Well, they should
that
call
it
Clear Sky because it won silver at the Great American Beer Fest in 2019. Ooh. Yeah, so this is supposed to be, this is an award-winning, multi-award-winning beer. It won a couple other awards, gold and silver and other national beer competitions, and the Great American Beer Fest is the
Super
top.
Bowl of
it's
beer
the
Fest.
Oscars.
Super Bowl of Beer Fest. Yes.
Is the Clear Sky Daybreak supposed to be coffee vanilla cream
yes.
ale?
Yes.
Okay. What was the other one supposed to be?
Just a cream ale.
Oh,
so this
so
must
no
be.
Coffee.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Oh. Yeah.
So maybe they have a new label. Maybe this is just old stock at Kroger. Nothing. nothing that Wolf's Ridge could do at this point.
Smells like coffee.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I just grabbed my glass.
Hesitant to drink it.
It's a good 2 feet away, and I'm like, oh, that's a coffee drink.
It does not look like it would smell like coffee.
No, not at all. It is very clear. It is
clear
light
amber
straw.
Yeah.
Golden honey amber.
Oh, honey is a very good one, Dave.
Yeah. Nice. I would say honey is better than straw.
Yes.
Even.
Yes.
I think you're safe. It doesn't taste like coffee.
Oh, Kathleen, you'll be fine.
But it has a coffee flavor or aroma to it.
It tastes more like cream ale than it does coffee.
Yeah. Now, coffee lingers a little on the
creamy,
tongue.
Creamy, very creamy.
That is very interesting. This is definitely, what was the beer that we had that smelled like one thing and tasted another?
Oh,
Skibbly Bop.
Yeah.
I think
it smelled like chocolate and coffee. It looked like a very pinkish red.
Yeah.
And it tasted like
Skittles.
Skittles and, it was.
Tasted better than Skittles because, bleh.
I like Skittles.
I do too.
You're wrong. Because this coffee smell alone is enough for me to be like, no, thank you. But you're right. It doesn't. There is a little bit of coffee flavor that lingers, but it's not.
It's real creamy.
Yeah. And it's not overpowering bitter death coffee taste.
If we want to line this up with the Geary, the ABV is 5% and the IBUs are 14.
Right.
So it's going to be very malty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And not bitter. And it is not bitter.
It is not bitter at all.
I don't get a lot of malt, though. Like, not that chocolate burnt malt.
Like
that,
the sticky molasses malt.
Yeah, sticky, overly sweet malt. Maybe. You sometimes get. It's nice and.
Yes. As Dave said, it's 5%. So the more malt in your recipe, the maltier it's going to be. The more sugars will be extracted. Shut up. So at 5%, there's not a lot going on. There's not an exorbitant amount of grain in there. So you're not going to get a whole lot of stickiness from it. So at 5%, you're going to get a nice clean beer. And this is lovely.
Yeah. Like if you would have described the two, the extra pale ale and a coffee vanilla cream ale, I'm like, oh, I'll totally like the pale ale, but I like this better, I think. This is really good.
I would not expect you to say that.
Yeah,
since
I know.
You're like kind of a hophead.
I am a hophead,
yeah,
but this
I'm on board with Troy, though.
Well, it's also nice.
I really like the snow cone. This is unexpectedly good.
This is because it's different from what normally I drink, which helps. And when it says coffee vanilla, there's going to be, I probably get a little bit more vanilla. Though it's not really vanilla. It's almost like a honey.
Sweet vanilla.
Yeah. And I might be thinking honey because Dave said that that's what the color was.
Vanilla
too.
Creamer is what I'm.
Vanilla creamer.
Is what I'm getting.
That's what that's what it tastes like. It doesn't taste like vanilla like you put
it's
in
not
cookies.
Like a bean.
Yeah. It tastes like vanilla creamer is exactly what
I'm getting like the IBC cream ale, like cream soda.
Yeah,
cream soda.
Yeah.
Yep. Well done.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Which is a cream ale. Yeah. It's an alcoholic ginger ale. It's alcoholic cream soda.
I happen to love cream soda, so this is definitely up my alley. Yeah. And very drinkable. Like, I could probably put away a lot of these before I realized that I shouldn't.
At 5%, do it. Yeah. You know, you're okay with that. So this is a drinking beer.
Yeah, that's really, really good.
Kathleen, you're making is like,
I'm
weirded out by it also.
Yes, I am definitely weirded out by it because, and I know we've talked about this before, I don't really drink coffee. I literally drink the iced cappuccino from Tim Hortons.
Right.
And even then I make them put vanilla flavor in it on top of that. And so it is the least coffee tasting thing that they have that gives the punch of coffee caffeine that I need in the morning when facing the children. And so especially the day after Halloween, you better believe I ordered a large this morning.
So you're one of those people that drinks a coffee that it's actually like a disguised ice cream sundae.
Yes. It's a milkshake is what I feel like.
Heavily
it is.
Caffeinated milkshake.
Yes, yeah, okay. Absolutely. But anyway, so the smell of this alone, smelling so strong like coffee, to me is like, nope.
Yeah, really
and
does.
I would never order this off a menu because it lists coffee as one of the flavors. Like, I would just be like, no. But that's that's not what it tastes like. So it's like, I keep going back to it, but then I get that big nose of coffee, but then it doesn't taste like that. So that's why I'm like, I go to taste it and I'm like, yeah, I like this. Oh, that coffee smells so bad. And it's like, oh, the beer's good.
Hold your nose, that coffee smells so bad.
Right? Yeah. It's like, this would be great if I had a cold.
I actually, it's funny that you say that, Pete. I just experimentally took a sip with my nose closed and it tastes like cream soda. With my nose open, it's coffee cream soda.
Right. It's so amazing how much your sense of smell affects your sense of taste. I like this. I like this a lot.
Well, again, thank you, Casey, for getting a hold of us.
Yes.
I've liked Wolf's Ridge for quite some time. So it's a staple in my fridge. I get them frequently.
Oh my God.
Uh-oh.
Did anybody read this bottle yet?
What? Oh, no.
We're not smart enough to do that.
Okay.
It's Troy's job.
Yeah, exactly. It is your job.
Confusing to the senses in the best way possible.
Ah. Ding, ding,
Daybreak,
ding.
Yeah. Daybreak's clarity and golden color belie the smooth coffee presence inside. Brewed with local one-line coffee's rotating house roast and the finest vanilla beans.
Okay.
So it intentionally confused your senses.
Yes.
So
well
you're
done.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's why it won an award.
Yeah. And deservedly so. This is delightful.
It is really good.
And this is a beer that I don't know if I've ever had before. Like, this is a different flavor.
This cream ale style?
Well, I don't drink cream ales very often. But, like, just this flavor in a beer is really odd. I don't know if I could point to another beer that tastes like it.
In this combination, no. There are plenty of cream ales out there.
Sure. But, like...
And they are really weird. I mean,
yeah, that might be it.
Little Kings, Genesee, Cream
Ale. Oh my God,
yeah.
Little Kings.
Oh, yeah. Little Grenades. Oh. I haven't even thought of those in years.
My God.
My dad.
1995 just ran through my brain.
My dad.
Is that a malt ale?
No, it's a cream ale.
No.
But my dad said something to me like when I was in college, our buddies would get these little green bottled cream beers. I can't remember what they were called. And I said, were they called Little Kings? Yeah, they were in like 8-packs because they were these like 8-ounce beers.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were 8 of them or something like that. I found them at some weirdo grocery store out in the boonies.
Yeah.
I bought 2 8-packs for him. And it was like a couple of, like I think it was last year for a football game, I brought him over and he's like, oh, where did you find those?
Like, that's hilarious.
I love you, Pop.
Yeah, if you ever want more, every grocery store and gas station in Gowdy County has them.
Oh yeah.
Or at least they did from 1994 to 2000. I haven't been back since, so I don't know.
That was like almost 20 years ago.
Genesee cream ale,
right?
But Wolf's Ridge, thank you. Consider our senses confused.
Yes. Well done.
Pleasantly confused, though.
Yes.
Mission accomplished. We're all confused, but delightfully so. So thank you again, Casey. We loved it. We hope to do some more business with you in the future.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want us to review, let us know.
But yeah.
And just so you guys know, Snowcone is probably going to be in the rotation every year now.
Indeed. Yeah, that's going to be a regular. I'm looking forward. I don't think it's available in the store. Maybe it is. Maybe it got shipped out today. I'm not sure.
Mm. These all have packaged on November 1st, 2019.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Stamps on them.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
It was bottled today.
The snow cones.
The snow cones, right.
Oh, that's right. The Daybreaks look like they were packaged on September 25th. So still very young.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's not old for that kind of beer at all.
Okay. I don't want to be this person, but... Can we be done? I want to be done talking about this movie.
I like talking about this movie.
No. So, because I am desperate to find anything to cling to when you make me watch these bullshit movies.
What are you talking about? This was a great film.
No.
Why are you talking like?
What a great film is.
Was I entertained? Yes. Great film.
Was I entertained? No, not great film.
Your problem, not mine.
No. I'm going to make it your problem because you make these movies my problem. But here's my question.
You keep coming back. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's because you make the worst puppy face when I tell you that I don't want to come back. So see, I can't deal with that. So In the movie, the main vampire, Angie Everhart, she is Lilith.
Lilith, yes.
Okay. So several years ago, I read a book. It was a young adult book. I read it to my class. They referenced this. The big villain in that one is also called Lilith. And she's not a vampire, though. She's supposedly the first creature. The first creature. Oh, creature's not a good word. But she's the first being made when Adam was made. According to this book, the lore is God made Adam, God made Lilith. They were equal partners.
That's correct.
Okay. Adam was not down with this. He didn't like it. She was her own human being and stood up to him, or I don't know exactly, but she ends up getting banished from the Garden of Eden.
Correct.
And then they make Eve as a piece of Adam, so therefore she is lesser because she came from him.
Right. Okay? She's derivative of him.
Right. She's derivative, exactly. And so, but Lilith being banished outside the walls of the Garden of Eden was also out there with the other creatures that had been created that were not good enough to be in the garden.
The castaways.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I don't know if they're failures of creation, and so they didn't get to be put into the garden, or if they got booted as well. I don't really know how they got out there, but they were out there with her as well. And they were what we would come to know as like demons and evil.
They're aberrations. And whatever. They're not necessarily evil, but they are aberrations of creation.
Like, yes. Yeah. And they're desperate to be in. And so therefore they have all this sad mental health issues that then turns them evil is basically what it kind of boils down to. So I had never heard of Lilith and the Lilum and any of that until I read this book. So when Vincent finds this vampire at the very beginning of the movie and is like, she's the most evil woman that's ever walked the earth and blah, blah. And then he calls her Lilith. I was like, is this like a mythology, like lore thing that I just missed somehow? Because it feels very, I think it's more than a coincidence that both this book that I read and then her character being this most evil woman have this same name. Well, and I feel like there's other things where there's like an evil woman named Lilith.
Frasier, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. B.B. Newworth is a fucking gem. And
true. This
and
is very
so
true.
Is Lilith in that show. She's the best.
Well, there's also the eponymous fair in which many...
the Lilith fair. Thank you. I had to say that out loud because I
have female musicians.
Right. Yes. Right.
Which is totally evil. Right?
Shout.
No, that Lilith is a persona, a character in, I believe, it's like Jewish folklore.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
She was like Adam, created out of clay, and was essentially an equal and Adam's first wife. But since she wasn't subservient to Adam, she was kind of rejected, banished. And all the stuff you said is pretty much
right.
The case.
Okay. Because that's the way it's explained in that book that I read.
And so, I mean, depending on what perspective you're looking at, Lilith could be considered an evil creature of some kind, I guess.
The self-realized woman.
Yeah.
Well, like in the book that I read, from the years of being with all of these other like demon-y type things, she basically just got pissed and decided, and then when Eden fell, she was like, oh, I'm breaking through the wall and I'm wiping this shit off the planet because how dare these motherfuckers do this to me. Essentially, and I'm massively paraphrasing because clearly I wouldn't read a book like that to children, but
true. Yeah.
I mean, that was her general idea, just with much better language.
Well, there was the graphic novel Sandman.
Thank you. I was going to say, is there a Neil Gaiman?
Yes. The graphic novel Sandman has a spinoff called Lucifer. Because Lucifer was everybody knows who Lucifer is, but
not personally.
Me too. But he was a character in Sandman as, you know, the devil, whatever. But and the spinoff graphic novel was called Lucifer, and there's actually that series on NBC.
Yes,
was loosely based on that.
That's a really good series.
Yeah, I mean that's a crime procedural.
Is it? Oh, okay,
I like it.
We'll talk about
I liked it,
later.
But Lilith features, I mean, pretty prominently in the Lucifer series. And her, the Lilum and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she has an entire army of children.
Right. That's what she calls them in the book that I read, too, is her children.
I mean, she's been procreating with, like, aberrations of creation for However many
more adopted eons. In the book that I read, but okay.
I know she gave birth though. In her.
So okay, well, I just when he named her this, when he said that this is who she was, and you know whatever in this movie, and then it made me think of that book and that whole you know storyline or whatever, and was like, okay, this feels like a piece of mythology lore to this whole kind right. of like evil aspect, that because I don't really watch horror movies, I don't really care for that. I like a good horror story, but I don't like horror
movies.
You don't
movies. Like the horror genre.
But if you take anything from like Judeo-Christian culture, like names, if you want to find somebody who's maybe defiant or something like that, you would use like a Lilith or a Bathsheba.
Right.
Or like, which was in The Conjuring.
Right. Or Cain.
Cain, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the name Lilith is usually ascribed to women who are villains because of that reason. For the same reason that Bathsheba might be the name of a villain.
Right. So, all right. Well, that's all I had left to say about this movie.
This conversation is much deeper than I ever would have thought.
Well, like I said, I have to try to grasp whatever piece of adulting I can from these movies that
yes,
you made me watch.
Yes, because you're such an adult.
In comparison to...
Well, in comparison to Bordello Blood, yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, well, here's kind of an adult thing, and I might polarize a little bit. Dennis Miller's a dick.
Yeah, he is.
Like,
honestly, I didn't mind him in the movie, though.
Oh,
did you guys...
So
annoyed?
Smug.
He was yes. freaking smarmy
well, so
and...
smug and just like...
although he had, he
so
was
amazing
funny.
And I'm way better than everybody
I'm so
else
smarter
here.
Than everyone else in
right.
this here place. Part
of, probably just I was... expecting smarmy, so the smarmy was like at a 5 as opposed to a 9 that
right,
I was expecting.
But imagine this character as Vinnie Van Lowe from Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
See how much better it would be?
God damn it. That
if,
would be
if
awesome.
If Rafe Gutman was really Vinnie Van Lowe.
Have you seen Veronica Mars?
Yes. Yeah,
Pete's
which
got
one
a
is
really,
this guy?
Vinnie is the other PI in town.
Oh, that douchebag.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wait, the guy with the amazing voice.
Yes.
The John Larroquette.
And the members
substitute.
Only jacket.
No, that's, you're thinking of Cliff the lawyer. Cliff the lawyer is the one with the really low voice.
Vinny is
the guy that like.
Members only jacket.
Yes, where's the members only
oh,
jacket.
Oh, fuck that dude. Yeah, that dude.
Yeah,
right.
Slick back.
Right, fuck
he's,
that dude.
He's
yeah.
perfectly schmarmy. You want to hate him.
Oh.
He's so just like.
He's
oh!
very good at one as getting you to hate him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's very good
but,
at that.
But. That's what this character is. Rafe Gutman is Vinnie Van Lowe.
But he wasn't supposed to. He's the protagonist. He's supposed to be the hero of this movie.
Right, but there are moments with that with Vinnie. That's the thing. There are. They're small, but they're there. But
I love Vinnie.
Yes. But
you can because he's a secondary character.
Right.
And
Vinnie
that might be
true.
As the guy in the movie, the headliner, you kind of hate the movie.
I guess, but
I mean, like Dennis Miller does, like spoiler alert, he gets his head eaten at the end of the movie. So you know,
good,
on.
Fuck him.
Yeah,
yeah. I just feel like he's a guy that kind of punches down.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's funny.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh. Speaking of punching down, I don't think anybody actually mentioned. And that opening sequence, when that pseudo Indiana Jones sequence.
Yes, which is why that's why I picked the bell I picked.
Yeah,
for this
yeah.
thing.
Okay. The guy, Vincent, who's yeah. looking for the body of Lilith,
right.
is a little person.
Yes.
True.
Yeah, and nobody's mentioned that yet.
Well, what's interesting.
It wasn't important.
I told
right, but,
Troy when the movie first started, I was like, I don't know what this guy's name is, but he's a very prominent little person actor because I recognize him.
He's been in a lot of things.
He's been
yes.
in a lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what any of them are off the top of my head, but I recognize
but
him.
You, yeah, you will recognize him and his voice in many, many things that involve little people.
Right. Well, I mean, you didn't mention it because it wasn't important.
It wasn't important.
And the thing is, in the movie, nobody ever mentions it.
Yeah.
And because no one ever brings
important.
It up because he is just another character. It is
yep.
never brought, like, it's not a plot point. It's
yep.
not a point of I guess, comedic
yeah.
relief.
No joke
correct.
About
yeah.
it
right.
at
there's
all.
No jokes.
Yeah.
About
he's just
it at all,
so. He's just another character. And I found that to be kind
refreshing.
Of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I saw him, I was like, oh my God, freaking Willow. Not, he wasn't. No, he was in Willow. He was like the leader of their warrior class.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, because
not Warwick Davis. He was
right.
No,
right.
he's Vonkar.
Oh,
Vonkar. Yeah, he was the warrior.
Oh no, fucking shit. Okay. good.
Yeah, I recognized him.
I think he was in another movie I saw called Troll.
Troll 1 or 2?
No, not 2. We're not going to see 2. we might visit Troll, the first one. Kind of awesome.
But anyway, like as far as punching down goes, no one ever brought that up. Not literally like...
I thought you were going to go there.
In terms of actual altitude.
Yeah. I actually am going to punch down. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not, I'm talking about like the cheap shots.
That would
like,
be a cheap shot.
Like the one that Troy just tried to take.
Yep.
You're right. That is surprising that they didn't have one moment where they referenced or made any kind
there
of...
There wasn't a single short joke or
no, not at all.
Anything like that.
Nothing.
That was refreshing that you had a little person in the whole film and you didn't make any sort of reference to...
Right.
This is a quality film. Right?
Wouldn't go that far.
Right?
They managed to not be offensive to one group of people.
It's ahead of its time.
Yeah.
That and it's like dozens of glistening naked boobs.
Glistening naked boobs. Naked fake boobs. There are lots
whatever.
There are lots of fake boobs.
The torso or the ass and legs in the... when they started killing everybody in the boardroom with the super soakers of
holy water.
All, the super soakers of holy water that clearly were magical because they never fucking
ran out of water. Ran out of water, right.
Right. But when they started doing that, the...
Dennis Miller kept cocking his super soaker.
Yeah, like, that's not how super soakers
that's
work.
That's not how it works, dude. You got to do it over and over.
You got to pump it to...
Yeah, but you cock it once.
Like, you got to...
You're not loading another... You have to make a stroking motion.
I'm so glad that this is not a video cast of all of these boys demonstrating how to use the super soaker right now.
Let me show you.
A lot of stroking motions going on right now.
I'm so...
People are using two hands. That's ambitious.
So I'm sorry. Yes, he was. They were killing the vampires with the super soakers.
Yes, the one lady vampire who had been like cut in half by the super soaker. So there was just a pair of legs
with a green screen,
that just above the ass were on fire.
Yep.
I found that a little funny.
It was glorious. Yeah. That massacre in the brothel was... Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
To Ballroom Blitz, right?
The Ballroom Blitz massacre.
Right. I wanted to work that into the 6 minute, and I didn't.
Yeah.
But I wanted to sing something, and that wasn't going to work out.
Exploding vampires was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Every exploding vampire was enjoyable.
The practical, visceral... I don't think there was any... Even in 96... This movie didn't seem like there was a lot of or any CG.
Why? Yeah, there was.
There was bad green screen and there was bad blue screen, but there wasn't any.
Erica Eleniak turned into Lilith. There was like a
when Lilith was trying to like brain Dennis Miller, and she's like, "Do you like this girl?" And she was like a cheerleader.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But there was one point where she
was
turned
that
from
computer,
one to the other.
Was that just good anime?
That's CGI.
It doesn't matter.
Because it like flowed.
The vast majority of the gore was practical.
The gore was.
Yes. Yeah.
It was so good. The exploding vampires. My favorite was the nurse that was attacking.
Tammy.
Tammy in the hospital that was attacking Dennis Miller.
Oh, she like got
exposed to sunlight.
Lines,
and she blew up like a balloon and kapow.
Yeah, that's actually
amazing.
That scene, that moment, I grabbed my pen and was like, wrote it down like, Tammy's explosion is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole scene in the brothel with the super soakers as vampires are exploding left and right and being set on fire and lower halves walking and running here and there as their upper halves are on fire.
Yeah, one of those upper halves actually got catapulted in the air and exploded in midair. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. There was one dragging herself across the floor.
Yeah.
With guts behind her.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great. That was good stuff. That was definitely a person dragging themselves with visceral behind them.
It was a very hard-working art department that day. And stun people.
It was my favorite. And Angie Everhart, when she was reconstituted at the very beginning,
what's that word again?
Is that not what she
no,
was?
No, that's exactly what it was. But you're talking about like I reconstitute her, like you're rehydrating mushrooms.
Well,
I rehydrated a vampire by putting her heart back in where it was supposed to be. So, so she had I thought she had amazing makeup, both the very beginning and at the very end.
Yep.
When she was gross. And when when Dennis Miller came up and hit her with an axe and separated
her
cleaved her shoulder, right?
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was awesome. And then in a fantastic array of shots, she hung her shoulder back on.
She pulled her shoulder back in place.
Yeah.
Into place. And she said, fuck you. I'm going to go over here for a while and heal or something.
Right.
Like that. But for the rest of the film,
she had a big scar.
She had a big
cut, whatever.
Gore and whatever else. I thoroughly enjoyed the makeup in this film. It was marvelous. Even though you didn't enjoy the Corey Haim makeup, after he was shot, he kept those bullets, those bullet marks.
Talking about the Corey Feldman?
What did I say?
Haim.
Corey Haim.
Feldman.
Yeah. It wasn't my kind of vampire, but it was quality makeup job.
Right.
Yeah. I just didn't care for the design.
And I think that's where really I'm going. I am focusing on. I enjoyed it for the fun makeup in it. I'm going to give the movie a lot of slack because they really did a lot with the minimal budget that they had.
What was the budget for this movie?
It wasn't high.
Yeah. It bears mentioning that last night I was watching The Lost Boys as part of the October.
Full circle.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought about Lost Boys because we watched this movie last night.
The Frog Brothers.
And Feldman.
Feldman.
Yeah.
Real Corey Haim.
Real Corey Haim. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
Yeah, he had a very sad life.
He did.
Yeah, he died in, I want to say like 6 years ago.
It was not very long.
Pneumonia.
It wasn't very long ago, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw The Lost Boys. And I'm like, I think if done well, The Lost Boys could do for a remake.
It could.
But
it
with more horror aspect.
Really cast well.
Right.
I mean, especially Kiefer's part and the Frog Brothers. Like those three.
What about Star?
No, that could be.
No, she's a placeholder.
She's so generic.
She's so generic in that. She's
80s,
generic and annoying.
She's just a pretty
so
girl.
Is Jason Patrick.
She had an interesting.
He's
look.
Not.
She was not your typical.
He's
like,
not like there's a lot of people that could play that character. There's a lot of people that could play Star, but you have to get Kiefer Sutherland's character right.
That's the hardest one.
You have to get.
Yes.
The Frog Brothers, right?
I mean, we could talk about redos and remakes and who we cast in the next Lost Boys
night.
Movie, but this is the movie we're stuck with right now.
Right!
So we might as well just rate this and get it over with.
Yes.
Dave, I love your ideas.
Yeah, I thought of that with my huge head.
I don't know why that's funny. I think it's the way you just said it.
I have a huge head, by the way.
As casual as it is.
Yeah, like it has its own climate. Anyway, so are you guys ready to rate this movie?
Yes, please.
Please get it over with.
All right. So here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, we have a rather unique rating system. We have the six-pack rating, where the higher the rating, the worse the movie is. So a 0 or a 1 rating means you need 0 or 1 beer in order to enjoy the movie or tolerate it. A rating of 6 beers means you need conceivably a lot of booze in order to make this endurable. So like basically you either drink until it's fun or drink until you don't care anymore.
Right.
All right. So let's start with
Troy. What is going on over there?
Something just struck me funny out of nowhere. That's all.
Anyway, I have a feeling I know what this is going to be, but Kathleen, how many beers do you require from 0 to 6 in order to watch this movie?
So I require 5.
Wow!
That is lower than I thought.
Well, the only reason it's not a full 6 is because it is at least very fast-paced and it goes very quickly.
It's only 87 minutes.
Short. I was going to say, it's a short film.
Yeah. So there's something to that.
I enjoyed
but
its brevity.
I wrote down, this is a stupid boy movie. It is dumbass, smartass, sexist, all penis, homophobic, and so many people should be ashamed of the existence of this movie and their connection to it.
You should write a strongly worded letter to Robert Zemeckis.
Let me tell you something. When the producer list showed up on the screen, I went, I'm so disappointed. And like several of the names that were listed there.
Robert Zemeckis doesn't just have a producer.
I know.
He wrote this.
Well, he took some bad drugs that day.
Yeah, it was Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis.
Suck this.
Yeah.
Oh!
That was terrible.
I know. I hope he's not listening.
Yeah. I'm going to go with we're okay there.
I think.
Robert Zemeckis, if you're listening, we love Back to the Future.
We're
yes. Yeah.
We're very close yeah. here on Good Beeper.
Man. Exactly.
You know what? Zemeckis, everybody.
He follows us.
Everybody's got to get paid.
Friend of the show.
Right.
Friend of the Robert, show, Robert Zemeckis.
Friend of the show, Robert Zemeckis.
All right, Troy, how many beers do you require to watch this movie?
Honestly, I probably. This movie's okay. It's okay. I'm going to give it 3 beers. Sitting on the couch, feeling somebody hate the movie next to you really does suck
raise
some
the
of
bar.
The joy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Legitimately, I know why you hate it, and I agree almost entirely. Like, if I could sit there and just, like, turn off the brain and go, like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy boobs and gore. Rock on. But
wait.
Boobs and gore 2020? That sounds like a political campaign.
Boobs and gore.
Who's on the Democratic ticket? It's boobs and gore.
Boobs and gore, like, 2020.
Like, okay, so there's a scene in the movie where there's, like, the embalmer, the creepy bald guy that like, brings
people in. And, I like, was enraged by this.
He's going to embalm one of the, like, and he's like, fat lady. He's kind of like feeling her up, but not because they're not like.
Oh, he's tweaking the nipple.
Yeah.
Oh, of a corpse. Of a corpse.
Of a corpse.
Of a corpse. And then he like cuts her open. He cuts her open and like it, like the gases escape, so it like farts, makes fart noises, which is like Kathleen's favorite form of humor. And so like.
I was still so offended at the sexual assault of that body that I didn't even care about the fart noise.
No, but there's fart noises. And I just look over at Kathleen because I'm like, oh, she hates this right now. I can feel it. And she looks at me and she goes, I fucking hate you guys.
Now, in my defense.
There's no defending that. You don't need to defend
that. No, I don't need to defend that. But what I was going to say is. I am not taking the blame for you not enjoying this movie. I think you didn't enjoy it all by yourself.
Well, I mean, like, it didn't help. Like, when they get into the initial bordello,
the
woman
coffin.
In the comes up and says, would you like to take the Skin Express to Tuna Town? And Kathleen goes, oh! Also, this movie had the worst fake pool playing of any movie I've ever seen. I was offended. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
Your bar for being offensive is weird.
Yeah,
is
well, weird. You know what? Dennis Miller, like, calling how they're going to be, right. Like, shut
right,
up.
Yeah.
Shut up. No. Nobody's that bad that they're going to knock their beer off the... No. Fuck you.
Okay, so, 3 for Troy.
Yeah. In short.
In short?
To sum up.
Pete?
1996, I saw this in the theaters. I bought it on DVD. I watched it.
I pray that you did not drag a date to this movie.
No. I brought some dumbass roommates from the house that we were renting. And we all went, whoop-a-doop-a-doo! That
was yay, vampires in it.
So that's what we did.
So how many beers did it take for you to make that
noise?
Well,
then I watched it last week, and I went, oh, you know, that's a dumb movie.
Now you know how I feel about the 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T.
Right. And then I wrote a synopsis, and I went, this is a really dumb movie. So I want to say there's nostalgia going on here, but 1996 isn't that far away, is it? I guess that's almost 20 fucking years. It is 20
it's
fucking
more
years.
Than 20
23
years.
God help me.
23 years.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
The 90s were only 10 years ago, right?
Right.
Oh my God, Pete, how many beers?
3. I still enjoyed it, but it was not. I needed help.
Yeah. You didn't even really have any good text to send me this
no,
time.
No, I didn't.
The best one you sent me was that the dog had hiccups. And I was like, that has nothing to do with the movie. It was just that the dog sitting in your lap has hiccups.
Oh, your dog had hiccups.
I was like, where's her
dog? I was like, I don't remember a dog.
my dog had hiccups.
Yeah.
Mochi.
And Mochi was like, hick, 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 hick. Oh, oh, no, I can't text.
Yeah.
What? Dave, how many beers for you, sir?
Three. See how easy that was?
I'm sorry. I stretched out too long.
You have some reasoning behind it?
Too long.
Yeah, three beers? Yeah. If I were to watch it dead sober, which I did.
Me too.
Eek.
That's terrible.
That's a terrible idea.
You should never watch any movie.
Dead sober in 1996.
I watched Citizen Kane with at least a beer.
Anyway, if I were to watch the movie completely sober, which I did, I can't stop myself, like my head lolling back and my eyes rolling in my head. I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
Yes.
No beers. You just kind of sit there and you're just annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Three beers. You're like, yay.
Three beers is, I'm still enjoying this. Five beers is.
No, five beers is too much.
So, no, it's not.
Like, once you have finished your third beer and the movie's getting close to being over, like, yeah, I like this. I'm enjoying this. Or at least I'm not hating my life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
where I wound up.
I still was at three beers. I was hating my life. I needed two more. The thing is like there weren't even like any really like good quotable lines. Like nobody said anything really that funny or that clever. I mean, literally when the Crypt Keeper puns are some of the best lines in the movie.
Romeo and Juliet.
Right. And I love a good pun. Like,
so Dennis Miller did say, I feel like I'm in a bad Tales from the Crypt episode.
There was that. There were a couple of. There was that one in particular was.
I like self
referential.
Okay, so five for Kathleen, three for Troy, three for Pete, three for Dave. So all in all, that just tells me that this movie is pretty misogynistic.
Yes.
True.
Yeah.
So is it up there with like a is it misogynistic like a Porky's or a?
I mean, it's not Revenge of the Nerds.
I haven't seen those.
Well, Revenge of the Nerds.
They're icky and rapey and shit.
Yeah.
This is not either of those. And
at least all these ladies are
women.
Willing.
Maybe they are topless, but they are in charge.
They're maybe even empowered. Yes.
Right.
I mean, literally, they have powers.
Well, they're in charge in the film. They're not in charge because the filmmakers are requiring them to take off their tops.
I mean, when you have a tongue, they can go down somebody's throat and rip their heart out of their chest. With just the tongue.
Yeah.
Power.
Yeah, you know what? We can talk about whether or not this is empowering to women at all. I think
it's
we all
not.
Know it's not.
It's really not. This one is
I understand
this,
that.
This is a
but I will
self-indulgent
say it's not
film
rapey.
For me.
It is not rapey.
Not rapey.
It is
at all.
Yeah.
It is gratuitous as hell.
Yes.
True.
Which, I mean, is born from a place of misogyny.
Totally.
I would prefer gratuitous than rapey, for sure. Boobs. But
I mean, we could argue that the gratuitousness is exploitative in and of itself.
Sure.
I'm real curious if there would ever be a potential of a reverse. Man, that'd be interesting. Well, that'd be...
You're not going to have a movie with a whole bunch of dongs hanging out everywhere.
Huangs? Did you say huangs?
Huangs.
Yeah. Huangs.
Because they're not as pretty as boobs are, so.
No.
No, they're actually kind of upsetting looking.
They absolutely are.
Upsetting looking?
Wang's ain't as pretty as boobs.
Boobs versus dicks. Boobs are pretty and dicks are not.
It's just a design flaw. I'm sorry. I also think it's a design flaw that the most sensitive part of you poor boys is an outie instead of an innie.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
That was a poor evolution choice.
Right? Thanks God.
Thanks God.
Way to go.
Or Flying Spaghetti Monster or whoever.
I guess we'll just have to make up for it by being in charge of everything.
Yes. Also unfortunate.
How about we let everybody know how to get a hold of us if they want to know more about our wangs and boobs?
Oh, you don't. But if you would like to reach out to us.
God, where did we go off the rails on this one?
I believe when we started talking about the movie.
Oh.
Kathleen, what's our things
I can
to say?
Only think about Pete's Wang now.
Please stop that. It's a very short thought.
Oh,
okay.
My picture in my head is just clearer.
If you would like to reach out to us, the Good Beer Bad Movie Night Complaint Department at GBBMNN. Maybe I said N twice.
Yeah, you
I don't
did.
Remember.
do you need some help?
No. Shh. At gmail.com.
Thank you, Wolf's Ridge.
Yeah. Right? You can also follow us on Facebook at Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast, or you can find us on Twitter at GBBMN Podcast. I have still not fixed my Instagram woes, but so yeah, I have nothing else to say. Oh, what? I do have something else to say.
Oh shit!
You lied to us.
I know what. You never responded to me offering for you to go to H Fest of the Hallmark Christmas Movie Festival, where you can go and meet all of your favorite Hallmark movie Christmas stars.
Pretty sure I responded by, "Oh dear Lord."
Yeah, I didn't see your response. I saw Dave's response of why, and in true Good Beer Bad Movie Night fashion, our most popular post on Facebook from last week was the one where I shared that there is a Hallmark Christmas festival that you could go to if you wanted to.
We should just do all Hallmark Christmas specials. This should be the Hallmark Christmas special.
Troy is fired.
Good beer.
You're fired. Out.
I don't even really like those
Hallmark
movies.
Christmas special.
I just enjoy how unhappy it makes you. I find it so entertaining that you just are so mad about it.
That's so upsetting that there's a festival. A festival.
There's a festival. I believe this is the first one. I've talked about in previous.
Ask Katie. She might have tickets.
No.
You really want to meet Candace Cameron. What's her name? Candace Cameron Bure.
Stop that.
Whatever her last name is. I don't
puree,
know.
Pure. What?
It starts with a B. And
it's Pure.
Like Pure, but I don't know what
it's
it is.
It's Pure.
Meredith Baxter Burney. She's still.
She's more of a lifetime.
She's a lifetime girl.
You're thinking more like a Lacey Chabert.
Yes. Candace Cameron.
I don't know any of these people.
That's a deep cut right there, man. I don't.
But whatever. This festival is a hateful and unwholesome place.
Where is it?
Okay. November 8th through November 10th at the New Jersey Convention and Expo Center.
Weird.
Tickets start at $35 for a Friday pass, but you can grab a 3-day pass for $75.
That's insane.
It's cheap.
G-Fest is $40 for the weekend, and right, I guarantee it's bigger than this bullshit.
Well, this is their first one.
Right.
Okay, that's $75 for 3 days at the Hallmark Holiday Movie.
What exactly do you
convention?
Do at the convention for
you
3 days?
You probably get to meet those people. You probably get to.
There's probably some panels you could talk on.
Santa Claus is there.
No, you,
I'm sure there's panels that you get to see. There's premiere of a movie to see.
Okay, or alternatively, for $75, you could do none of that. And take the $75 and stick it directly up your ass. That would probably be a more enjoyable experience.
And you could do it over and over again. It doesn't.
I think the once would do.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Ew.
How about we end this episode? Yeah.
You probably started talking about that Christmas was coming, and that's why we started talking about
Goose's
this.
Old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, then a penny will do.
We may have.
A penny, then good bless you.
We may
God
have a guest, two guests
you.
for our Christmas movie.
Oh,
I assume that Donna is going to join us.
Most
again.
Likely, yes.
Yes. And then we may have a
super fan,
a new speaker to the podcast,
really?
A new guest, someone who has their very own Hallmark Christmas movie and chill sweatshirt.
No!
that they have claimed they are going to wear. For the watching and or recording of the podcast.
So we have our sights on an actual film, but we aren't sure we can get it yet. So
yeah.
we're not sure what the next episode is.
Right. We don't know what we're watching yet next month. We have a few ideas. It will most likely be Pete's favorite time of the year.
Stop
where
it.
We break
no.
out the Lifetime and or Hallmark and or whatever. We'll just see. But if we end up doing a Hallmark movie, we may have a special guest with us.
Or two.
A legitimate, true fan of the Hallmark Christmas movie. So maybe we can have some of our burning questions answered. Like, why the fuck
why
are these movies
is this happening?
Watchable. Right, well.
And until then.
I'd rather crazy glue my dick to the bullet train than fuck you. I could bash my genitals with a ball peen hammer. That's a thing I can do,
yeah.
But I don't because
right?
It's stupid. So you don't want carpet. You want an area rug.
What? This is from Flum.
Flum?
Pardon me. Oh, my Lord.
We haven't even started drinking yet.
Well, you have it, maybe.
Speak for yourself.
That's not even any of the ways you practice it.
I didn't. Oh, no.
You practiced. The ABV is the alcohol by volume.
Alcohol by volume.
See, Dave's been drinking too.
You guys are on to me. My head is so uneven.
Does Pete need new pants after doing that speech?
My penis is terrible.
Well, because I went. Yep. Well, yeah.
TV or evangel.
Try it.
Evangelist.
Thank you.
My
cup says, "Where's my booze?" And it has a ghost on it.
It's mostly.
Sorry, I did not breathe correctly.
Ballroom blitz.
I literally took all of these notes and balled three things of yarn.
That's right. My wife's a baller.
Wee.
Oh.
Oh my god.
Sorry. I didn't
Good
mean
thing
to
he's
like
wearing glasses.
Yeah. Impale your shoulder.
You might have taken out my eye, but fuck it, I got two of them. I can't wait to stab you in the dick.
That's
Take
an outfit.
That.
Thou shalt not fall.
I don't know why I started singing that.
Oh my god.
Because it's amazing.
Dick stabbing. Okay.
This is
This complete a sentence, Troy.
Corey Feldman.
Fake Corey.
Right, fake Corey. Haim.
Did it involve getting stabbed in the dick?
Yeah, oh. Actually.
Dick stabbing is never funny.
And
never.
Except for this one time.
Taking the log to the beaver.
It's like somebody was reading my diary back to me.
Yeah. If every page of your diary just said boobs.
Okay. Troy has an ugly penis.
Taking the skin boat to Tuna Town.
Bordello blood, however, speaks to me.
I kept saying something was 20 years ago the other day, and somebody was like, it's more than 20 years ago. I was like, fuck you, it's 25, and I was rounding.
Is it too much of a conceit to think that everybody wants to hear about our wangs?
Yes.
Booby vampire tits. Woo! It was great. Dennis Miller is a fucking asshole. Yay! Woo! Woo! Woo!
What the fuck is with the parrot?
Anytime boobs are on screen, I'm like, you have my attention.
In true Good Beer Movie Night fashion on Facebook, it is
do you know the title of this podcast?
No. All the drinks are hitting me right now.
And just like swinging dicks everywhere.
Right.
And pizza.
I lost
control here.
To be totally honest, penises are not that pretty.
Christmas is coming, and it's not wearing a condom.
Bitches, that's me. I'm bitches.
I didn't want to make the sound.
The what sound?
Stop that. Dominoes.
Oh, balls. I just got beer all over myself.
Someone needs to take control.
Boys. Ugh.
Boys with their boobs bathed in blood.
Yeah.
And their penises.
Steel Magnolias. Done by trauma.
Wait, there's cannibalism in Fried Green Tomatoes?
Yes.
Somewhere out there, there's someone who doesn't feel that way.
Beneath the pale blue sky.
Sure.
Someone's thinking of me.
Thanks, Fievel.
Oh my god, somewhere out there. None of this is going to make it into the cast.
I know.
This is just us horsing around.
Yeah, we might as well just have a weird boner movie night.
No! Stupid movie.